by His Spirit. We're looking at hearing God. So we titled it, Whose Voice Is This Exactly? Something like that. Abi, how many times have we heard God say something or perceive that God is talking to us? And then we say, oh man, it's not God, Jai. Sometimes you even rebuke it. I don't even know what I'm talking about. You rebuke it and say, this is my voice. Or this is my desire talking. But we really want to look at how God speaks to us. If He does at all, when does He speak to us? How? Where? And how do we walk and obey more? You ready for that? You ready for that? Alright. Matthew Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. I think that was where we started. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, and the son of Abraham. And I've always said that it therefore means that those who wrote what we call the New Testament, they have an assumption that you have read Genesis to Malachi. This is someone starting the book of Matthew and he says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Meaning, you need to know that this Jesus has the seed of David, or is the seed of David, is the seed of Abraham. Don't forget, I told you before that Matthew 1:1 is basically Genesis 5:1. Genesis 5:1, the book of the generation of Adam. In the day God created heaven and earth, the book of the generation of Adam. So what is Matthew doing? Matthew is saying, we are rewriting Genesis. Not because it's wrong, but a new story is going to emerge with Jesus at the front. He is the son of David, which is the Psalms, and he is the son of Abraham, which is Genesis, or which is Moses. You know, that's what I mean when I say Abraham is Moses, right? We would never know who Abraham was if Moses did not tell us, alright? So that's what I'm saying. So in the writings of Moses and in the Psalm, we are going to find more about Jesus, who we are saying we want to recognize His voice. And so it means that the Bible ought to be read together. We cannot afford to treat some things with experience. Now, experience is a good thing. Look up. Experience is a good thing. If you're young, sometimes you might want to, you know, I'm young, right? So, very young. But if you're young, you might want to downplay experience because you don't have it. So you say, it's not about experience. It's not about, but as you grow older, you will start to know that experience is vital. But should experience lead a man? No. Say, I know how this thing, I've seen it before. If you are in the medical field, experience is good. Because that means you've seen a lot of cases. I think we're talking about it. In my place of work, we have patient review on Mondays where we look at cases and everything. And I was talking, I said, see, experience is good, but there are places when experience can mal you in the sense that, or mal you rather, in the sense that it can destroy you. You feel you have seen it before. And I said, if it's about experience, we will never discover new cases, new diseases. Because we feel, it's still malaria, it's not Ebola. You know what I'm saying? So experience is good, but God sometimes does not lead us by experience. His mercies are new every day. So is His leading. God can talk to you every day in a new way. Amen. Amen. So again, we must not rely on experience. We must rely on the scriptures to teach us how God leads. It's a new year. You need to find out whose voice you're hearing. And there are believers who think that God has not spoken to them before. They've not heard God before, but that's a lie. I'm saying now that there's nobody in this room who has not heard God before. That's a bold one, yeah? There's nobody seated right here who has not heard God before. The only issue or the hiccup might be you didn't know you heard it. Ignorance can be the issue, but you cannot claim not to have heard God before. You know the voice of God. Say, I know His voice. Come on, say, I know His voice. And the reason why a lot of people think, oh, God has not spoken to me, or God has not spoken to me in this year, or God has not spoken to me in like a year, or in 2 years, or in 3 years, is because sometimes we rely on stereotypes. We think This is the way God talks. Stereotypes. I told you, some of us are used to, Holy Ghost is the gentle, I used to act drama, you know. So Holy Ghost is the gentle one, the devil is the one that has joy. The Holy Ghost does not have joy. When he comes and speaks to you, you just say, my son, how many of you as your mother or your father ever wanted to speak to you and say, my son, my son, my son, my son, Chimena, hear me. Is that how your mom talks? Huh? And sometimes we think that's how God talks because you watch a lot of movies.
If you don't listen to me, I will go.
But the devil is the one that will come into the room and say, he has joy. Everything is going fine for you. So the devil has joy. God, not so much. And we use that stereotype. So every time you want to hear God, you just say, everywhere be quiet. And then someone will just take advantage of the situation. Everybody's quiet. Everybody's quiet. Let me talk. My son. Not your son. Just kidding, no. Just kidding, no. Before you can say, a pastor say, But we think that God cannot speak to us in the marketplace. Stereotypes. You are stereotypes. Stereotypes in prayer. Stereotypes in prayer. No, some people feel if you have not closed your eyes, God cannot hear them. Now I'm not saying you should not close your eyes. I'm not saying you should close your eyes. I have no business with what you do with your eyes as long as you're praying. But if I don't close my eyes, is that one prayer? Because you were taught that prayer is you put your hands together. Are you still putting your hands together? When are you putting your hands together? Put your hands together for prayer, Alina. Or retreat. Go to retreat and say, you want to pray, you put your hands together. So you do like this for 24 hours. You probably come down. I don't know what, your hand might not be able to come down after 24 hours. Amen. So put your hands together. Put your hands together. Say your prayer. We are praying. We are praying. Close your eyes. So there are stereotypes. We are praying. So I close my eyes. I'll put my hands together. Then that's prayer. No, that doesn't necessarily mean you're praying. So when you see someone who is praying, I remember the first time I saw someone who was praying with his eyes open and was walking and was doing labor. I was like, heresy everywhere. This generation, Jesus said, will he meet faith? Will he meet faith in the world again? I was saying in my heart. Now, do I pray on the street as I'm walking? Yes, why did I not close my eyes? If I close my eyes, that might be my last prayer. You are praying, trailer is coming. You say, I must put my hands together and close my eyes. By the time you open the eyes, oh glory in the, you sing with the angels. Maybe you like to sing with the angels. Hallelujah. I was teaching. There was a teaching that is coming this year. I have promised this thing. Stupid things that Christians say. That's the title. Stupid things that Christians say. Throw me, drag me, anything. I will teach it. You see? Remind me, Shola. Stupid things that Christians say. Hallelujah. Stereotypes. We are stereotypes of healing. Oh, God must heal me in a certain way. But in the Bible, you discover that God is not the God of stereotypes. He's not. He can talk to you in any way. He can be loud. He can be quiet. He can be in a song. God can talk to you regardless of wherever you are. There are no stereotypes. Stereotypes, you know, healing. Sometimes we think, forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Nobody was forgiving sin in the Old Testament. Say who? As someone come to me one time and said, that everybody in the Old Testament, they did not have the Spirit of God. They did not have the Spirit. Are you sure? I've shown you before. Abraham had the Spirit of God. Moses had the Spirit of God. How did they not have the Spirit of God? Someone say, Pastor, pause there. I understand everything I'm saying. Now, indwelling my answer. And I'm saying the same thing. Amen. So get ready for salvation through faith. Series 7, 5, 6, which one? Just give me the next number. My own is no digit. Huh? And dial of prophet this year. Trust God to have two. He said, without shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. But was David's sin forgiven? So whose blood was shed? David said in Psalm 103 verse 3, he said, God who forgives your sickness, forgives your sins and heals your diseases. Jesus had not died. He said, he forgives it. He didn't say he will forgive it. Micah 7, he said, He buries your sin in the sea. Micah 7 verse 18 and 19. So, was there forgiveness of sin before Jesus died? Yes. And I think we've taught this before. So, you must not have stereotypes in your mind. Stereotypes of what people must look like when they come to church. You are not God. You cannot judge that one. Now, of course, that does not mean that someone now wear mini skirts. You know, there's mini skirt, there's macro mini. There are some people you call sister. Some people you call sis. Some people you call sisto. Sisto. Sisto is, you don't understand how the person got to church. But you know Jesus accepts everybody. So you just say sisto. Sisto. You give them rapper. When I was younger, they'll give you rapper. When they start giving you rapper, there are rappers in church. When you enter, they just hand you rapper. It means your skirt is short. Now, that's not the stereotype I'm talking about too. So stereotypes, they saw skirts and they were judging me. Who will judge you? What were you thinking? You see, people wear skirts, they're not being like this. Sorry. I'm sorry, I like the skirt. It's fine. But why are you doing this? It's short. It's short. Ah. Are you just finding out? Is this the first time you're wearing it? My war. What's ye ben ye? Oh, you should buy. You cannot take bike. They banned bike in Lagos, which is fine. You cannot take bike. Evangelism, you have to go to a certain place. It's bike that can get there. Sister in Christ, oh, they'll take bike. You not sit on bike like this. That's not the stereotype I'm talking about. No, we have stereotypes. Stereotypes of what a pastor should look like. Stereotypes of what, you know, you just have stereotypes. No, break from it. So, the same stereotype, sometimes we carry it to the leading of the Spirit. And we think, oh, God should talk to me in this way. Or this is the way God talks. And I'm going to even look at details. Does God give us details? Because when you say the voice of the Spirit is precision and accuracy, I'm not saying details. And we're going to look at all of that. Trust God tonight. You ready? Yes, come on, are you ready? So you must not have stereotypes in the gift of the Holy Ghost. You think, oh, tongues must sound, you know, there are people that, their prophecy sounds somehow. Normally when they talk like this, but when you want to prophesy, the baritone voice will come out. I don't have it. You say, boy, why ask? The Holy Ghost said, imagine if you hear my voice and I'm giving prophecy and suddenly you just say, yes, 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 by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Ghost. Ah, is it close, your pastor? Iba ni abiyo. What's Iba? Fever. Is it fever? That's not the way I talk. Why do we suddenly sometimes switch our voices because we think God is about to talk? Nah, let him use your voice like that. So break stereotypes. Is that clear? So we're looking at the leading of the Spirit and we're saying, whose voice is this? Whose voice is this? Someone told me one time, said, how to recognize the voice of God is that God always says yes. He shocked me. He said, because he says his name is Amen. That all his promises is yes and Amen. Ah, MC Oluomo, calm down. That God has never said no before. That if you want to know the voice of God, it's not no. Then I said, who told Paul, don't go and preach in Macedonia? Who told him no? I said, that must have been his thinking. Paul is thinking. Okay. I have heard you. So if God wants to lead Judas, as he wants to go and betray Jesus and kiss him, God will say, yes. So should I just betray the Christ? God will say, yes. Because it's yes. One sister like that, one brother was toasting. You know, he's toasting. I was telling her, I said, you know, you are born of the Spirit. There's no need to be checking what I'm saying to you. Just say yes. God's voice is yes. If any brother come and, that one is bullying, yeah? Bully you to say yes. Shout, egbami, egbami. They carry me go where I don't know. Say, just say yes. Now you have the Spirit of God, I have the Spirit of God. God cannot say no. We both have the Spirit of God. We are believers. What kind of manipulation is that? That God does not say no. You know, someone said, God can say yes, he can say no, he can say wait. He said, God cannot say no, cannot say wait. I said, what about the long suffering of God? Wait for the sinner. He said, God cannot wait. You're just saying nonsense. Acts 17. Let's get into it. So we have the scripture or to lead us. Acts 17. Are you ready? So how to recognize God's voice? It's a new year, and we trust that God is going to speak to us more. You don't believe that for yourself? Alright. Acts 17. Verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of mass ill and said, "You men of Athens, I believe that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by, I looked at your devotions and I found an altar with an inscription to the unknown God, whom you therefore ignorantly worship. I declare him unto you, God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven, he dwells not in temple made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needs anything, seeing that he gives to all life and breath and all things, and has made one blood of all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek after the Lord, or they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him." The word "feel" there, before we go, "you might feel after him and find him." So, God wants to be found. Say, God wants to be found. So, if haply they might feel after him and find him, because he is not far from every one of us. He didn't say he is not far from believers. He said he is not far from every one of us. For in him we live, we move, and have our being. As certain of your own writers have said, we are his offspring. Look at that. He said, verse 27 is very important. He said that God made us in a way that we will seek after him. God made us to seek after him so that we can feel after him. The word "feel" there is the word selaphao. Let me spell it before you write something else. P-S-E-L-A-P-H-A-O. P-S-E-L-A-P-H-A-O. That we might feel after him. That word means to touch. To touch. It's the same word that John used in 1 John 1:1, where he said, the word of life that we have handled. Touch someone, your neighbor. Now, if it's your sister and your brother, just ask, "Can I touch your hand?" Amen. He said, "Pastor, I should touch you now." You have sense. I have sense in Jesus' name. Now, so touch someone beside you. See, do a high five. Do a high five. See the way he just did it. Eh? You see that high five? That's exactly what he said. That God wants, the way God is with you, is that you can touch. Not just believers. That's the surprising thing. He said, the creation. That God made in a way that we can feel after him. We can touch. So, there is no distance. God is near to everyone. I know, sometimes, believers have a believer's complex. When we think, God speaks to me differently than he speaks to an unbeliever. No, he doesn't. Didn't you hear the same gospel? The only issue that he has not believed, you have believed. So you think you have a special something with God? No. Sorry. I know I'm God's beloved. I'm the apple of his eyes. So is everybody. Are you the first person that he called the apple of his eyes? Everybody. Including unbelievers, yes. He said he is near to everyone. I said, "Pastor, what are you teaching? Come." He is near to everyone. He is near to everyone. He's in touchable distance. And Paul is not saying something strange. Look at the way Moses wrote it. Deuteronomy chapter 4. So, don't forget where you're coming from. Paul says, God made man in a way that man must seek after him to find him. Abi? So we say, God wants to be found. He's not playing hide and seek with any man. He's not, sometimes you think that God does not want to speak in this situation. I've been praying. Pastor, I've been fasting. Pastor, you don't know what I have done. God is not talking. Why do you say God is not talking? It's called the word of God. He talks. Nobody talks more than God. He talks. He's always talking. So, we said, he wants to be found. And we said, is he close to only believers? Come on, raise your voice. Is he close to only believers? No, does he speak to only believers? Is he only believers that can find him? He said, all of us, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 7. For what nation is there so great? Who has God so near to them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? As a nation so near to them So Moses is telling the children of Israel that God is so near. He's closer than your skin. He's closer than your skin. Jeremiah 23. And this teaching should change the way you hear God. Should make it sharper. That's what I want to do this year. Amen. Because we need it. So we need it to be sharp. Jeremiah 23. Verse 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not feel the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord? That is, there is no hiding place from me. I am always close to you. I am a God that is near. So, God is near. He is in touchable distance. He is touchable. He is hearable. He is near. So if God is so near, how come that I can't hear him? If you say he wants to talk to me, he wants to speak to me, he wants me to touch, he's in touchable distance. That word is not afar off, he's closer than your skin. So if God is that close, how come I don't hear? Or how come I'm making mistakes in hearing? How many of you have been in a house with someone that uses earpiece a lot? Huh? I'm sure if I'm asking mothers now, mothers will have a lot of hands raised. It was a women conference. Yeah. Pastor, it's true. You'll be pressing for. I'm hoping you have your mom or your dad. Not that. Your mom most likely will tell you. That phone that you're pressing, that is not allowing you to hear. And you're wondering, is there something in my ear? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Good. Now, how many of you have called someone before, and the person's on headphones, or earpiece, or airport, and you're calling the person, and you're talking. Probably you cannot see. You just say, so that soup that, and the guys are not here. Let me see. It has happened to you one time or the other before. You were talking to someone, they could not hear, but you were speaking very loud. So who is at fault? Is it you talking or the person listening? Okay, that means you kept talking, but the person just could not hear. So no matter how close you are, until you now say, sorry for shaking you like that. I've been calling you since. Hey. As you're calling them, you're even still dancing. Your soup is burning. Fire. I remember there was in boarding house, hostel. That, the boy is deaf. So, eventually they took him away. He cannot hear. And there was a fire. In one of our dormitory has like 3 compartments. So one of the compartments, there was a fire outbreak. Someone brought in iron. And the iron shall be not. The iron be not. Amen. And everyone was shouting, fire. You know, this boy that could not hear was just, and the fire was at his back. He just saw people running and he wasn't running. So I took opportunity. I just landed him one. Bah! I just wanted to do it. I just say, ha! You know about Jordan. Thank God for my slap. So, no matter how much you shouted fire, if you like, stay beside him like this. Stay at his back and say, fire! He's not going to hear. Why? He's deaf. So, the issue is not that God is not talking. People are deaf. Some are not deaf. Some have earphones. Spiritual earphones. Something like that. So, God is near, touching distance, he's shouting, he's talking, he's speaking. So, it has nothing to do with the person talking to you. He is near, that's what he says. He says, he is near to us, the word Macron, or Macron, M-A-K-R-A-N, is closer than your skin, he's near. So, God is always talking. So, one of the things you need to settle in your life right now, is that you recognize that as you're seated now, God is talking to you. But, we must not complicate it. What we want to hear sometimes is, Chineye, my daughter. Chineye, my daughter. That boy, where they toast to you. No grey. You think that God cannot talk like that? So what you want to hear is, Thou Chineye. Thou Chineye. The host of heaven salutes you. I, the Lord, Almighty God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the omnipotent I am. Omniscient. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Before God even finished the scene already, the scene that he does not want to see, before he finished his name,
you've already disobeyed. I said, and I wanted to tell you. But as I'm saying, I am the I am that I am.
We think that God talks in KJV. But calm down. Keep it simple. Last week we looked at the fact that God spoke to Paul. Remember, was Paul a believer? Was Paul a believer when God spoke to him? So, can you see what I was saying? That he is near to everybody. If you will open your ears and remove those earphones, he will speak to you. You will hear it. You will hear it. He's near. You hear it. Paul says, I heard him speak to me in an Hebrew tongue. So, we said glossa or dialectos. Huh? So, if you went around last week, find it. That is, God speaks to us in languages that we what? That we can understand. God speaks to you in a language that you can understand and you can respond to. So he spoke to me in an Hebrew tongue. Something that is understandable to me. It doesn't mean that God will speak to you in an Hebrew tongue. You don't understand the Hebrew tongue. Some of you are Igbo, but you don't understand Igbo. Some of you are Yoruba, you don't understand Yoruba. God will not speak to you in that language. He will speak to you in English. Even in English, you are blowing gun. And if you blow gun so much, the leading of the Spirit to you yourself can blow gun. I'm serious. You will hear bazooka, and it's God leading you. Don't, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Matthew 13, let me show you something. So it's like God spoke to Paul in a language he can understand. Something relatable. He's not afar off. He's not afar off. I've told you before that the more familiar the voice is, the more likely it is God. Also, the more likely it is Satan. I explained that last week. That both God and Satan use familiar voices. I explained that a bit. Because the devil uses counterfeits. The devil will use Eve to talk to Adam. Don't tell me that, does God want gay marriage? I said, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen? Does God want polygamy? It's Adam and Eve, not Adam, Eve and Evelyn. Amen? Go and write Bible. Say, I don't want stereotypes. Want that one, please. So we said, God speaks in familiar voices. Matthew 13, are you there now? Come on, are you there? Good. I mean, it was 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables. Matthew 13, 13. Because they seeing see not, and hearing hear not, neither do they understand. And, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, that said, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. Look at that. Jesus said, I speak to them in parables. Because in hearing, they cannot hear. They cannot understand. What does that tell you? That even parables, look up, show you that God wants to keep talking. They cannot understand what he's teaching. Then Jesus will have to cross over. That's what parable. He will now cross over to where they are. How many of you teach in primary schools? Educators, whatever you call yourself. You teach children. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Good. Now, if you're going to teach a child addition, are you going to say 2 + 2 = 4? Or if you're very elementary, Montessori, Esther, yesterday, you're going to educate us. You know, you're going to put 2 apples, whatever, or 2 sticks, right? And say, if you have 2 apples, that's where all of you started from now. Abby? Me too. I was not born, everybody went to school. So, 2 apples, say, you have 2 apples. Now count. 1, 2, 3, 4. At the end of the day, the teacher will carry the apple, go home. So you didn't have the apples. It's a parable. Is it making sense? But why would you have to bring stone? It used to be stone when I was in school, or slate, anyone. So you count slate. You know, all this, roof, asbestos. They would break it. That's what you'd be counting. So, no, I didn't go to a very bad school. It was just the time. I went to a good school. Very good school. So, you count, right? But why would you have to count? Now, if you are in SS3 and they're asking you 3 + 5 and you run outside to go and count stone, you know they should, both the principal, the teacher, your parents, everybody should, they should take turn to beat you. In fact, your church members should even go and say, not me. Because you are a stupid person. You should not be running outside. You are grown enough to not be counting again. But why would you allow children to count? Because you have to cross over to their level. Jesus says, I am speaking parable because they cannot understand. I am going back to their own standard. Meaning that even when they could not understand, I still want to talk to them. So God will not say because a man is not listening or a man is not understanding, he will not talk. No, he will still go back to your level. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? And that's why some people say, I heard God clearly. When I hear God, I hear it clearly. I don't know. And some will say, in fact, yesterday, I was just having a dream. In that dream, maybe you just watched a movie. In that dream, that king of yesterday that in that movie, he just appeared to me and he was telling me that that king was just carrying Bible. And I was not saying that it was sword, he was carrying the movie. God has stepped over to what you understand. It's been a movie if you watch. Since you watch too much of movies, you will start using your idea they call to talk to you. Because it's as though that's a familiar voice. You have heard what's that Korean guy's name? Sabolu, eh? Jumbumpio. Tell me, please. It's only sisters are talking. Jesus Christ. Limio. Is it Limio? Gujumpio. What kind of name is that? As someone who wants to do the dialectos. He said Gujumpio is Greek. Limio is Hebrew. Alright, so Limio. So, you will now see Limio in your sleep. And God is talking to you in Limio. Because that's what you understand. That's the familiar. Limio is louder than pastor's voice. But it's not louder in your life in Jesus' name. So, he says, I speak to them in parables because they are not understanding. So we cannot blame God and say, God is the one that is not talking. God is talking to you daily. For every mistake, God spoke to you. For every time a decision was about to be made, God spoke to you. And so, the next time, you'll be more careful and say, I know God is talking, I want to hear it. I know He's saying something about this. I know He's saying something about this. He spoke to Paul. The audience that were unbelieving, that were even, we wanted to persecute him, He spoke to them. And that's why He said, to him that asks, more shall be given. To him that asks not, that which he asks shall be taken away. It's not offering, no. I have taught it before. That's not for offering. I've heard people say, if you don't give your offering now, to him that asks, more will be given. To him that asks not, that what you have, that 1,000 that you don't want to give God, God will not take it away. You not spend it on malaria drug. No. No. What did they have? To him that asks understanding. Abi? More is given to two. He was talking to disciples. Abi? In the parable, to him that asks not, those ones that is supposed to be in parable, what he said to him that asks not, they don't have understanding, Abi? That's what they don't have. That which he asks, he does not have understanding, but what does he have? A ear that cannot hear. A heart that cannot understand. So that which he asks shall be taken away in parables. That is, by saying parables, I will take away a heart that does not understand. Why? He will now understand because I've come to his level. In speaking parables, I will take away a year that was not here. Because now, I've spoken to him in parables. Is it making sense? So, it's not money. It's when you say, him that asks, more shall be given. That's in the hearing of God's voice. So, God always wants to speak. To him that cannot hear, he will remove that thing that is not making you to hear. God always wants to speak. But, like that illustration, a lot of believers have headphones. They have headphones on, they cannot hear what God is saying. But I can hear his voice. So God will find a way. He will always find a way to talk to you. Nothing can stop God from talking. What happens is that sometimes we are not hearing. Let me say this one. You will never even need to pray to hear God. He's that close. Of course, if you know if there's anybody that wants you to pray, it's me. Some people have accused us. Yeah, they say we pray too much. Go to where they don't pray now. Because I don't know how you can accuse someone of praying too much. You know, people don't know what they want. What do you want? A place where they collect money from you. And they tell you, today, God said that 85 people here that want to give $5,000. And tomorrow is $2,000. When the pastor wants to buy a private jet, he will say, it's not $2,000 that God is saying again, no. There's inflation in heaven. $7,000. Now, nobody's collecting dollars from you. And you are praying for yourself most times. Do better. Amen. In Gen Z voice, we need to do better. Hallelujah. What was that before Gen Z stepped in? So sometimes you say, I want to go and fast and pray so I can hear God. Now, you are not fasting and praying so that God can talk. Mm-mm. Oftentimes, you are doing it to remove the earphones. So, you are fasting. If you watch movies a lot, and you are fasting, and you are still watching movies, you are not fasting. You say, but Pastor, I did not eat. Before, you are not eating like that too. They always call you to come and eat. They will tell you, you have not eaten since morning. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, go and eat. So, that taking break from food was not really fasting. Take break from the movie. Take break from the football. That is the fasting. Is it making sense? Take break away from Instagram. You know, if I was a preacher in 2001, you will not be the fasting called fasting of Instagram. But here we are. Take break from Instagram. You are fasting. Let your system know that you are fasting. Are we fasting so that God can talk? Nah, he's near. Say he's near. He's always talking. He's always talking. So what we are doing is we are taking away the ear that does not listen. The heart that does not understand. Is it making sense? Huh? That which he has, that is not making me talk to him very well. We are taking it away with prayer. So prayer does not force God's mouth to talk. Mm-mm. Prayer forces our ears to hear. You learn something? So, God's voice is near. God talks to you all the time. Look at Genesis 3. Are you learning something? I said this as far back as probably 2006, 2007, that you cannot call someone the Word of God. Jesus, Word of God. And he says it's not talking. It's called Word. Literally, it's Word. Word. W-O-R-D. He talks. He's talking. So that time where you were at crossroads and you felt, oh, I just need to hear God. He's talking. Tonight he's talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. And you have clear understanding of what he's saying. In the name of Jesus, your heart hears. Your heart yields. It leans towards God. It leans towards God. You can hear. You can hear. It's not blocked. Your ears are not blocked. Your ears are not blocked. Was God talking to Samson? Of course. His father said, is there no brethren among us here where you can pick for yourself a wife? Samson said, no, I like her. God was talking, of course. God was talking. But he felt that I was too familiar. It's Papa. It was too familiar. That's not God. It's Papa. It's my dad. He's always strict. But God was talking in familiar voices. We said, he talks to you in languages that you can understand. In fact, the voice of God is oftentimes the voice of man. It sounds like a man. It sounds like man. And we saw that a bit last week. We're going to see much more. In Genesis 3, you there? Are you there? Alright. Verse 7 says, and the eyes of both of them were opened. So not every open eyes is a good thing. Sometimes, you should be stupid. You know what I'm talking about? I said, you're so stupid. You're so stupid. You're so dear. You don't, like, you're not awake. I said, leave me like this. I don't, if it's about that awake, I want to sleep forever. This is your own waking. I want to sleep forever. Say, how can someone be this grown, no girlfriend? I don't have an issue. Did I come to your house and say, I am hungry? Not now, amen? Amen. I said I was 26 or something. 25, 26. Say, no woman. No, nothing, nothing. You are too asleep. Oh. I said, you are too awake for your, you are too awake for God to use you. Said the eyes of both of them were opened. One large. But who opened their eyes? Huh? This happened. God left it closed. You go open up. Wait in your eyes, go see. Shege. Amen. The other one of them were open, my sisters and brothers. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. Probably look at this much more during ECS retreat. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden of the in the cool of the day. Say they heard the voice of the Lord. So even when we have made mistakes, God is talking still.
So now we say, hey, maybe because I sinned, God does not want to talk to me. No. Paul was killing Christians. He was persecuting the church. And Jesus said, I am Jesus. Now I have an assignment for you. So sin does not stop God from talking. Zacchaeus was a sinner, and yet God was talking. Sin does not stop God from talking. What he does sometimes, oftentimes, is that he blocks the ear of the one who is meant to be listening. So God is always talking. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the midst of the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. So he used the voice of God as though it was a human. They hid themselves from the presence of God. And it was the voice of God talking. And so the voice of God will always sound like almost like a man talking to you. Oftentimes, a voice that you can neglect because you hear it too much. And that's why a lot of people don't know that God is talking, because they still think that thunder has to be... you are not listening to me. Whatever happened, will happen. It is what it is. No, God is not going to talk like that. Sometimes it's going to be it's going to even appear like you're listening to a teaching and you're not. I remember some years ago on campus, someone told me, I think I shared with you, he said, you came to my window at night. It was a hostel. He said, Pastor, you came to my window at night, Abby. I said, your window. I remember your room and all, but don't come to your window. If you see me at your window at night, you say, will not run. What am I doing there? He said, I heard your voice from the window side. You asked me to wake up. I'm not the one, but I hope you woke up. Amen. May they not strangle you for sleep. Hope you woke up. Because we have believers now that cannot stay up to pray. Alarm with your GMO. Even the alarm is screaming. They are not even snoozing again. They are not dismissing. Alarm is just there. Do your worst. Is this the highest you can ring? You need to change. Remove the things that are not making you hear. It's a new year to hear God's voice. Clearer, louder, by the Holy Ghost. So God's voice is like human voice. They heard his voice walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The way you hear someone in your compound and you're hearing the voice. The way you're listening to me right now, that's the way God talks to you. And they hid themselves from the presence of God. So God's voice is understandable. We saw that last week. And we said it's relatable. So it's understandable and it is relatable. Say it's relatable. It's relatable. Daniel chapter 8. How are we together today? Alright. The book of Daniel. Chapter 8. If you are finding out to quickly open to Daniel, go to Concordance. Go to the table of contents and quickly open. We don't have time. Some of you have not opened Daniel this year. Also, Pastor, this year is just how many days? Ushatishi Daniel. Go and open every book of the Bible. Read. Start reading your Bible. Amen. The night chapter 8, verse 16. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. This is Daniel talking. And he says, I heard a man's voice that said, Gabriel, make this man understand. So that's God's voice talking to an angel. But he said, I heard a man's voice. I am so sure. Then he said, I heard a man's voice. He said, Gabriel, make this vision understandable to this man. I heard a man's voice. Look at what he's saying. Almost like what you can relate to at the bank of Ulai. I was somewhere natural. Somewhere, it's not like whenever God wants to talk to you, you have to go into a trance. I've heard very different, before God talks to you, you have to knock out first. You don't know anything. No, you don't see anybody. Just know that you are there. Then it's when you come back and you say, Mulonwemi. So we blow our bodies. No ara. No. Mugbemi. God does not talk to you only when you bear me. What's bear me? Carry spirit. What's carry spirit? Carry spirit is that you do, you know, charismatic. I'm charismatic through and through, yeah? I'm very charismatic. I believe in the gifts of the spirit. I walk in it very well. In fact, my friends used to say that they didn't believe that I would be teaching. It just means that I would be going everywhere, just be doing charisma. I said, thank God. Let me teach.
Amen. So, some of us believe that the only time God talks to us is Holy Ghost meetings. Or when someone goes, God, that's scary. There's a way we just add drama to all these things. And there's nobody in the Bible that did all of those things. No, not me. Please. Everybody heard God's voice. Nobody acted like that. Paul heard it. He was here on the floor. You heard your own. You are jumping up and down. It's the same way that people are, you come back from the dead. They will start cooking stories. They will start doing film. I was in hell. Estate me waluambe. Only you went to hell. Lazarus went to hell, came back. He did not see anything. Or he died. Let's just say. He died. He did not see anything. Dorcas died, came back. He did not see anything. Jesus died, came back, he preached gospel. You went to hell, you started giving us season film. As a secondary school, when one woman went to hell, she was going from church to church, every church, they were inviting her. She said she saw matches. That matches not make some people enter the kingdom of God. And some people is not even matches. They just forgot to say good morning. And God said, how can you be this rude? Oh, rude. You went to die. You died. You said you just come back. Eat. Eat. And start thinking about your life, that why you died in the first place. And if you die again, if you know you not come back, just give your life to Christ and live a peaceable life. No. You start doing film. God's voice is not scary. So I heard the voice of a man. I heard the voice of a man in the bank, at the bank of Uli. He's like saying, I heard the voice of God just in front of us as bank. I heard the voice of God as I was about to buy fish in the market. I heard the voice of God as I was going to for lectures. I heard the voice of God at all 36. I heard the voice of God at 2001 cafeteria. I heard the voice of God at Lagoon Front. I heard the voice of God just around Oshodi. That's what Michael was saying. Daniel was saying. He said, I heard the voice of God. It was like the voice of a man. Elijah said, it's a still small voice. It was not in the thunder. It was not in the wind. It was not in the earthquake. It was in a voice. So, it is the voice of man. Stop looking for thunder. Stop looking for lightning. Stop looking for drama. Stop looking for someone that will prophesy and say, follow the still small voice. Don't hide in your heart. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 3. You learning something? 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 4. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I. You called me. And he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. And he went down and lay down. And Lord called yet again Samuel. God did not change it. And he arose and went to Eli. So why did he go to Eli? Because it was the voice of Eli. He didn't go outside and say, who is calling me? He didn't ask Eli's two sons. I said, did you guys call me? No. He went to Eli. He says, and the Lord called to Samuel, but he heard Eli's voice. So sometimes the way God talks to us is in familiar voices that we trust. Voices that we listen to. Voices that have authority over us. Or voices, better put, that he has placed authority in over us. Whether you believe it or not, there are people that God has given you to so that they can instruct. And there are people that God has given to you to so that you can be a voice to them. Don't trust a man or a woman that does not have a pastor. And does not listen to his pastor. Don't trust. Never. A man is talking to you and he says, put your pastor aside. You see, your pastor. What he's doing is saying invariably is that, God, you don't need to hear God. Just hear me. I'll take you for dinner. I'll buy you clothes. As you are hearing me is enough. Because by putting your pastor aside, you most likely will not hear God. Am I saying that the pastor has got a monopoly of God speaking to you? Almost a monopoly of it. Almost. How did Paul know that God has called him? The church, Acts 13, the church, the elders told him and said, you know what? God has called you. Now you can go. Almost a monopoly that God has given, that believers are going to listen to him through a familiar voice. God, in the book of Revelation, he wanted to talk to the church. The church in Laodicea, in Simnia, in Philadelphia, in Thyatira, in Laodicea. And how did God talk to them? He says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea. That's the pastor, Angelos in the Greek. The messenger. The one I sent there. So God sometimes wants to tell you something and he's not going to tell you. He's going to tell people, he's going to tell people that he has placed over you. Just like Samson. His father told him, don't go down to Philistine to take a wife. God has placed people in Israel for you. Take a wife there. No, Samson said, no, she is good in my eyes. Did God talk? Will you say God did not speak to Samson at all? Eh? You know, say, God did not even correct him once. So when his father was talking, who did you think was talking? That's God. Familiar, relatable voices. So, he heard Eli, and God was the one talking. God wanted to tell Samuel about Israel. It's about Israel and about his prophethood. And who was Samuel hearing? He was hearing Eli. But was God talking? Just like Daniel said, I heard the voice of a man at the bank of Uli. Amen. You learn something? So, let me quickly just share. Sometimes we think it's about details. That maybe when God is talking to me, I will have details. Sometimes it's not like that. See, let me say this. If God tells you the details of some things, is it that you run mad? Or you don't believe him again? Imagine, you know, God never told Joseph about Pharaoh or about Potiphar. He only saw 11 stars, the sun and the moon. 11 stars, the sun and the moon bowing before me. He didn't tell him there's a Potiphar. He didn't tell him whether you go to prison. No. If he had told him, you think Joseph will stay in the house? Jackpot. Say, Mori prison. They will first sell me. That's the first thing. As he's seeing Reuben the next day. And Reuben said, come to my room. There's a gin I want to give you. It's not sizing me. He said, Over time. He wants over time now. He wants to sell me. But God did not show him that. God just showed him, you know what? This is going to happen. Did God tell me? Yes. So sometimes it's not in the full details. Sometimes you get it on the go. When you obey one, you get the next one. When you obey one, you get the next one. You know, Jacob was a man that God spoke to a lot. Arguably top 10 in the entire prophets that God spoke to. And I'm serious. God spoke to Jacob so well. Really, really. Jacob as he loved. God kept, he showed himself twice to Jacob. Twice. Not many people even have one encounter. But Jacob had two. God kept talking to Jacob. Dreams. He kept taking him to places. But, you know God, look up. You know, God never told Jacob that Joseph was still alive. And God kept talking to him every day. He didn't tell Jacob that Joseph, your son, is still alive. Imagine if you had told Jacob. Some of you, God tells you those kind of things. You just use fasting and prayer to kill God. So, I will not eat until you tell me. Tell me where he is, my son. Protect him. I will not eat. There's one brother like that. He told me one time. He said, I will not eat until you lay hands on me. He wanted to start a church. So he told me that was 2017. So he said he wanted to have a meeting with me. That he would not eat until I lay hands on him and all that. But the Bible has already instructed that you lay hands on no man. That's ministry. That's not about healing. Lay hands on no man means that you don't just ordain people into ministry. You don't just give people go ahead. I'm not in the position to give you a go ahead to start out a work. I don't know who taught you. I don't know who trained you. I don't know who you're accountable to. Definitely you can't be accountable to me. I'm not ready for that kind of attitude. I'm still dealing with our sales. Amen. I don't need another body. I'm not a mentor to anybody. I don't want to be a mentor. You want me to be a mentor and all that. So he said he's not going to eat. I've not laid the answer now. Are you sure he has not eaten? He's not going to eat. I said, okay, go and eat. You know me too well. You know, if I tell you that I'm not doing it. He said, I will fast. God is going to talk to you. I said, what's the game? Let it up. I don't have yes to yet. I will not lay hands on you. Forget it. So imagine if God told Jacob, one morning devotion, like I said, let me even just tell you something, Sha. You know, be like, say, person they hide the information. Sight and sound, sir. You know Joseph. Joseph, my son. They could go sat up at the end of the sun. I know he's with you. You say, it's not with me. it's not with me. Don't be saying what you don't know. He's in Egypt. You know, Jacob will leave for Egypt the next morning. Where are you going to? Reuben. God has told me what you did. So what did we do?
You said Joseph, you know, said Joseph, well, I'm coming back. When I get back, we saw that one. Egypt straight. But sometimes God doesn't tell you that. What he just tells you is, you know what? Put your mind at rest, Jacob. That's his voice. Because at the end of the day, he will work things out for his own perfect plan. So you trust him in the moment. So the voice of God, of God's leading, sometimes is not in the full details. How many of you know what, you understand what I just said now? Alright, so sometimes God's not going to tell you all the full details. Oh, when you start this cell, this will happen, and then you will grow to this number, and then you move to this. There are things that God told us about Glorious House Church. Some I have seen, some I have not seen. But you know what? It really doesn't matter. I'll just keep doing what we're doing. Eventually we'll see it. If you have not seen it, it will happen. As long as we align ourselves to his purpose and his plan, and we don't move away from the post, he has pushed us. We'll see what he said. Amen? Amen? But he didn't give all the details. For example, God did not tell me that there was someone called Bumi Awakon. That's some details, right? That's the pronunciation of the name. God, I didn't know. I just know we are going to preach the gospel. We are going to disciple men. We are going to have an army that's standing for Jesus in this end times. We are going to have people who are sincere in their devotion to Jesus, worshipping him with their heart sincerely. That's what we are. Now, if you fall into that, we'll see you. But for me to now tell you that I have the names of everybody here, that God told me that you'll be in this service today, is a lie. So sometimes, the leading of God's spirit voice or God's voice, sometimes it's not that he gives us all the details. No. It's that he leads us. He tells us what to do, or he calms our hearts down. God kept telling Jacob, you will see good days. God kept telling Jacob, put your mind at rest. But God did not tell him, Joseph is somewhere in the prison, or he's somewhere with Potiphar. God did not show Joseph too. He's not showing Potiphar's wife. That's not the moon, that's not the star, that's not the sun. That's probably an asteroid that wants to kill everything. God did not show him that Potiphar's wife is coming. So sometimes you don't get all the details. So if you are waiting to get all the details, the devil can take advantage of that. So whose voice is this exactly? So when people are adamant that they want all the details, are you listening to me tonight? When they are adamant that they want all the details and all the information, the devil just steps in and says, no, yeah, let me give you details now. You want details? It's a lie. That one, number one, is a lie. So what would happen actually is that you will meet, I know that I will meet my wife. No, she'll be the seventh born. Eventually met a sister like that. Said, she's the seventh born. She lives on number 7. She was born in July. Her favorite number, guess what? 7. When she did Jesse, she put number 77. She said, I have always known it. It's about 7. Well, yeah, Ronaldo, they broke up. Oh, God, the revelation. They met. So I will meet in church. The 7th church I attend. Ah, he broke her heart 7 times. Just kidding. But sometimes you are looking for nonsense details that God has not given you. So it's not about details. Calm. It's about his voice. And we said his voice is near. It's near. Look at Samson, for example. The voice was the father. God's voice. God never showed himself to Samson. Albeit he was a judge, even though he was a judge of Israel, God never showed himself to Samson. But God kept his father close to him so much that he had counsels enough, loud enough not to neglect. Loud enough not to neglect. And that's why, listen very well. I think it's for someone. That's why you don't jump around. We're in an age where people want revelation at any cost. Wherever God's word is being taught. Not just everywhere God's word is being taught. Be careful. Be careful. The same you will go for Glorious House Church Retreat. After Glorious House Church Retreat, you go for Christ Embassy Program, ICPC. After ICPC, you go for Wolfbeck. After Wolfbeck, you go for Wafbeck. After Wafbeck, you go for Wafbeck. What are you looking for? Eventually, the demerit of that is that you will have multiple voices in your head. Because the devil is going to lay hold on it. And that's why, be satisfied with the food they serve you at home. This is not about food. Be satisfied. Too much of eating will cause constipation. There is nutrient too.
But constipation is the end. Eventually, all the nutrients will go. You know, it's nutrients. I want to go for this meeting. I want to go for that meeting. It's nutrients. You're getting nutrients. But if you went to body house and your parents used to come for visiting day, you know what I'm talking about. You will eat so much. My mom used to bring yam and egg, rice and chicken, jollof rice and chicken. Then there will be white rice and stew and fish. Then there will be bread and tea. Because you know that's the only one day she has to feed the son, her only son. And guess what, men and brethren, your pastor will eat everything. I will eat everything. I will not get to there. Is everybody, oh? Toilet is always, the special day after that visiting day, is mad. You don't want to be put in toilet. Everybody, just see everybody holding paper, holding tissue. Just people don't love, they don't worry. Paper. You will wake up the next morning and the back of the hostel is messed up. Why? Food is not bad. Nutrients is not bad. But you constipate. Yeah, eventually, all the nutrients. You know, people looking like you're not eating for days. Why? Diarrhea has killed everything. So everything you thought you've gotten, you even take more out. This is not about food. Amen. So, he is near. Say he's near. Play for me as I close. He's near. He's talking to you. Sometimes we ignore it because the voice is too familiar. Some of you have been listening to me for years now. Some of you 7 years, some of you 6 years, 5 years, 4 years, you have tried. 3 years. 3 years, you have tried. You know, 3 years means that if you are very faithful with service, that means you have been attending both weekly services and Sunday services. That means you listen to me twice in a week, at least. Apart from teachings, you listen to on tape. And then you listen to me twice a week, live. That'll be 52 weeks in a year. That's 104. Huh? 52 times 2. 104. In a year. If you have listened to me for 3 years, that'll be 312 times that you have just heard the same teaching, over 1 hour of teaching at least. Then you have tapes that you listen to. So you can get so familiar with the voice. And sometimes God is using it for you and then you just ignore it. Now, sometimes I sense very strongly that what I just said now, I didn't have it in my notes about feeding everywhere and constipating. God is talking to someone. I didn't have it in the notes. I didn't have it in my head to even go that direction at all. But that's how God talks. That's how He leads. Just simple things you pick up in services. If I count how many times people have come to me as a pastor and said, it was like you were talking to me. If I count, it's more than 200,000 times since I've been teaching. And people just come and say, it was like you were talking to me. That message was for me. Another person come, that message was for me. And I said, God is talking to you. Because that's the only way you can talk. In familiar, relatable, understandable voices that He feels you should listen to. And so don't make it complicated. And don't take it for granted. Oftentimes we take for granted avenues and channels that God speaks to us through. Sometimes He just says it passively. Sometimes it's not even a service. Sometimes it's after the service, it's before the service. And God is talking to you. Be able to pick it. Especially when those who are over you in the Lord are talking. Pick it. You are joking and all, you are just pick it. Pick it. Sometimes what you've been looking for, the entire solution and God's voice that you want Him to talk and you want Him to share you that the green house on the right is where you go and preach. So now your cell leader will just say, have you been to that street? As I was going, I just saw some guys at the junction. Maybe you should even... Guess what? That's God telling you where to go next. Well, you have been praying. God, show me where to go on that street. Show me. One of the cell guys just say, are you the one on that at last side? As I was driving past, I thought I saw someone preaching at a shop like that. I thought it was you. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. I thought it was you. Say, oh, it was not me. Where is that shop again? What was the color of the shop again? Your prayers have been answered. Sometimes it's not a pastor, it's not selfish, it's not fellowship pastors.
a fellow believer is telling you, I don't take for granted anyone who is born of the Spirit of God. If you like, you just got born again yesterday, I'll take you serious. Why? Because God can speak through you. You are endorsed by His Spirit. That means He can use your tongue. He can use your tongue. And so you take it serious. Sometimes, because the voice is too familiar, we reject it. Jesus says, a prophet is without honor, only in his own place. It ought not to be so. That's what the devil has made to happen. That a prophet now starts to be without honor. I went to preach somewhere some years ago, about 2-3 years ago. And I saw the way they received me. It was so, I was thinking, I hope they know that this invite was an emergency. It was so, the notice was too close. I wanted to reject it and all of that, but God asked me to go. So I went there. And the way they were doing and all that. But I watched the way they were treating their pastor. I saw the way they were, I think I've shared this story before. I saw the way they were treating the pastor. Not that they were treating with disdain or anything. But for everyone I wanted to carry my bag, I don't allow people to carry my bag because by God's grace, thank the Lord, I've got 2 hands. That means I can carry my bag. I'm young enough to be able to carry my bag for the next 60 years. I'm that young. I'm just 16. So why will you carry my bag? But I was watching, nobody was going to carry the pastor's bag. You know, they were just so used to him. They were so used to him. You were bringing me juice, water. Share restaurants, my wife, my bridge. I want more juice. You go to our church. Come on, think that you are Kati professor in Kamaloli. Juice, water, you know, waffles. And the pastor's table was empty. I said, permit me to tell your church something. He said, what's it about? He said, about honor. He said, honor for you. He said, son, no problem. Said, he was so used to treating strangers. Sometimes we have that syndrome. We treat guest ministers. We see where people treat guest ministers. Open car. But the pastor. Pastor Tideo. You have seen him so much. Doesn't mean anything. I told them, I said, boy, he's the one praying for you. When I leave this place, let me tell you the truth. I will not say a single word of prayer in the church. I have a church to pray for. I have a people to pray for. I have people that God has committed to our hands. I have ministries that are looking up to us by privilege, by God's grace, that I pray for. I'm not going to say a word of prayer for any of you. Beyond here and the laying of hands and do what I'm asking, put it on. But this your pastor has stayed by you for 13 years. Treat him better. Some of them were crying and loving. He's never cry. Change. But sometimes that is the way it is with the voice of God. We've heard the same voice so much that we want to just hear another one. But God's not going to use another. He will still use Eli for Samuel every single time. He will still use the father of Samson for Samson. He's not going to go and call Goliath to talk to Samson. He's not going to call one of the Philistines to talk to him because he's not listening. No. When he did not recognize that he was him, he still said the same thing in the voice of Eli. He heard it the first time. He went to Eli. Are you the one that called me? He said, no. The second time, whose voice did he hear again? Eh? Eli. God is not going to change it because you are not listening. He's not going to change it because you cannot understand it. No. You are the one that will take away the sonar from your ears. You are the one that will take away that headphone and find out what God is saying. Whose voice is this exactly? It is the voice of God. He's closer than your skin. He's talking to you every day. He's talking to you right now in this service. He's speaking to you. He's prompting your heart. Sometimes you hear it in your own voice. In your own very voice. And because you don't trust yourself that much, you feel, don't let me do it. Don't do it. Hope it's not what I just like that I say. No. Trust that God can talk to you. Trust that you are full of the Spirit of God. And that's why you ought to always walk in the Spirit the more. You know, walk in the Spirit so much that you can trust that God is the one talking to you. Huh? Take away the works of the flesh so much that you can be sure that this is the Holy Ghost speaking. I'm the temple of the Lord, right? Your body is the temple of the Lord. Yeah? Yeah? That means your ears can hear. That means your ears are the faculties of the God kind. That means your ears have access and they can reach out to God. You believe that? That he can speak to you and he can speak through you.
He can speak to you and he can speak through you. You believe that tonight? So what we're going to do in that 5 minutes, we're going to hear from God through another believer just beside you. And trust that God can speak to you tonight. No, if there are no details, calm. Huh? Sometimes the details are not clear. Sometimes you don't have all of the details. But God is talking. He's calming you down. And he's showing you the way. Pray for yourself first. Sorry.